Hi everybody, this is Christopher and you're listening to Finding Japan, episode 59. Well, how are you all doing? It's been a while, but I'm going to skip the whole apology thing because no one's really paying me to do this. So, there you go. How are you all doing? I hope you're all doing well. I hope the month off has given everybody a chance to catch up on episodes. I know there are quite a few people, actually, who have been writing in saying that they are still going through some of the back episodes. So maybe now we're all in the same ship now, and all of my references to past episodes will actually make some kind of sense. When is it? It is Tuesday, March 11th. In the evening. It's been, I think, exactly a month since I've done a podcast. I'm going to look right now. It's been so long. No, it's been a little less than a month. Last episode was February 16th, where we went over to Tokyu Hands and bought some laundry material. Specifically, I posted a small picture of the laundry setup, and it's since changed. I've bought quite a few hangers. One of the things that you probably know now is that the lovely Linda has arrived, and as a result, we've basically doubled the amount of clothes that we have, so now doing laundry is a little more tricky. But we have one sort of rack that handles just socks and small things with clips, and then there's another rack here now that holds, I think, about 10 shirts or so, so we can pretty much do one whole thing of laundry at once. But that's not what you're here to listen about. Or listen to laundry anyway. I'm going to give you a brief update of what's been going on, some of the events that have occurred in the past, and that way maybe if I get through some of my pictures, they'll make more sense as I post those up there. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the new listeners that are listening, and I'm going to go through the blog comments as well and talk about a few projects that have been keeping me distracted, and then we're going to end off with a drink review of some Kamakura beer that Alex and I had done, I think it was about a month ago, but it's kind of interesting. So anyway, here we go. So what's new? What's exciting? Well, as I said before, Linda has arrived, and that's been completely awesome. It's actually been kind of weird, and part of the reason why I think that I haven't podcasted is just because I'm not used to... It's one thing to sort of do it in public where nobody knows you, but it's another thing, I think, to do it when there's someone sitting next to you right now. But she's got headphones in, so I don't think she can hear me. She's watching television, looking for some movies. But, I know San had been busting my balls there for a little bit about her, but no, it's really true. It's all been basically me being so busy that has kept me from podcasting, and she's been nothing but encouraging. So hopefully there'll be some more coming out as long as I can get my act together, and that's that. But yes, living with Linda now is just awesome. It's just I didn't realize how much I missed her until she actually came here and started spending more than just a month with me like she did last time this past summer. I've also started working again full-time, and that's been great. Working full-time and not having to commute to school is really kind of making life easier. The days go by much faster, so that's been really good. But I just received a message from my friend Saya on my last FM account, and she said, all work and no play... and no podcasting makes me a really boring unko puri puri chan. So I'm going to try not to be an unko puri puri chan and get some more podcasting done. Speaking of Saya, we went to Ikegami Bain, which is down near Kamata, to go check out the plum blossoms. And that was really cool. I never realized that the plum blossoms here actually bloom quite earlier than the cherry blossoms, but now that I know that, and now that you know that, if you're ever in Japan in, let's say, very late February, probably early March, go check out the plum blossoms. Mayhaps if I can get my camera out. Probably not. I'll go ahead and post some of those pictures soon. Let's see. We also met up with Scott and Kara Moon last weekend down in Shinjuku for the Tokyo 2600 meeting. We had a great time just sort of chit-chatting. And I was kind of realizing that it's nice to meet and really make some strong connections with people coming from literally across the globe, and being able to go ahead and meet up with people and have something sort of regular, you know, where you can actually start building a friendship with someone. It's kind of nice. And we're both sort of talking about that afterwards. And I don't know, that was really good. We talked a lot about technology and politics and just a wide variety of subjects. And Kara Moon had a great zine. I forget the name of it, but it had to do with, urban spelunking, or basically going into areas that you're not supposed to, steam tunnels and climbing tall buildings and things like that. Looked really interesting, and hopefully if he's listening, he can post a comment to that zine. I'm sure there have been many, many other things that have happened since then, but suffice it to say that it's all pretty difficult to remember after about a month or so. We've had quite a few new listeners lately. I wanted to say hi to a few of them here, but in doing so, I think... Actually, no, we'll say hi to them first. There's a new listener by the name of Dennis who commented on the episode 58, who said that he just found and subscribed to the podcast, and he enjoys it, and it reminds him of when he was in Tokyo. He loves hearing the sound. I've gotten quite a few comments on the sound seeing tour, so hopefully get to do more of those sometime soon. But one of the things we really got to get through people here is all this unused audio that I have. I have a folder here just full of unused audio that we got to get through, and we'll start doing some of that later today. But to Dennis, welcome. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and hopefully we make it somewhat interesting. I also wanted to welcome Takita-san, who is Tenmaru on the boards here, and she's given me some great information about a place to eat in Kobe, which she posted on episode 58, and a brief explanation about Hinamatsuri Ningyo, and she talks about the different types of dolls and the meaning behind the dolls and how many dolls and how they're arranged on her comment that she posted March 4th. So go check that out. If you can read Japanese, I will soon respond to her. And to Takita-san, yoku kite kurete arigato gozaimasu. Hopefully she enjoys listening to me sort of speak in English all the time and not really speak much Japanese. So again, welcome Dennis and Takita-san to the podcast listeners. And for everybody else who doesn't comment, but I know listens because there are many more downloads than there are comments, welcome. And to the biggest Whalers fan in New Zealand, San, this podcast goes out to you. I think it was Scott Lockman who posted something recently to his podcast talking about how his head was going to explode from thinking about too many projects. Well, one of the reasons why it's been difficult for me to sit down and podcast is I've been in the exact same boat. I've had quite a bit going on at work, but on top of that, I've managed to come up with two different projects that I want to get started on. Both are pretty complicated and involve programming, which I haven't done in many, many years, but I won't bore you with the very specific details, but suffice it to say that it's one of these things where it requires a lot of learning, and I think what I'm ending up doing is starting multi-year efforts here that need to be sort of splayed out and chopped up into tiny bits So as I'm learning to do that, I'm also learning to divide up my time a little better. The four-hour sort of strategy that I talked about last time has actually been paying off. It's been keeping me a little more balanced and been finding that I've had much more time to respond to people and to spend time with people that I care about and actually go out and do things instead of sitting in front of the computer all the time. So that has been good, but when you start adding all these different projects, going back to that episode, Japan Makes You Busy, it really does. So Japan makes me extremely busy, but I guess it can also really give you a lot to learn about time management. But anyway, there's been a lot of stuff in regard to that, specifically to finance-related project, to try to figure out how better to invest, but it basically amounts to me trying to educate myself. For those of you who haven't been paying much attention to markets, one of the things I did want to talk about briefly, and I think, I guess this could be somewhat responsible for kicking off this whole endeavor, is if you're living in the United States, you're certainly in tune with what's going on with some of the economic problems, specifically in the credit markets. And as a result, we're seeing, you know, a lot of fallout economically in world markets. And it occurred to me the other day, I did a little price experiment, that the price of Dotoru coffee for me has gone up approximately, I think it was 23%. Now let me explain. When I arrived in Japan, a M-size blend coffee was, I think, 230 yen. Well, just recently, within the last week, I believe, it's gone up to 250 yen. Now, 20 yen is really not that much when it comes down to it. But combine it with the fact that I think the exchange rate was somewhere in the 118 range, 119 yen per dollar, and is now hovering somewhere around 102 or 103 at the time of this recording. Actually, I think it's more around 101. You take those two factors combined, and the price of coffee went up extremely. So now, at the moment, I'm using the Flavia machine in the office, and I think I'm even going to start downgrading to the coffee vending machine that sort of makes it on the fly and spits out a little bit in a 50 yen cup. So, yeah, the coffee issue is kind of depressing, actually, because Dotoru is still my favorite set of coffee. So I guess one of the things you learn being here overseas is that you really pay attention to prices. I think I moved quite a bit of money over just after Christmas, so I didn't get hit too much with the exchange rate going down a lot lately, but I was able to sort of hedge against that. But again, if I have to move money soon, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble here, as the exchange rate is really taking me out. So that's been one project, is to figure out a little more about how markets work and how to hedge against these things a little better. So, and that's been taking up quite a bit of my time. Also, I've been working on a finance-related project at work, and that's also required me to learn and read quite a bit. So, project number one. Project number two is I'm trying to discover different ways to learn kanji better. I realized a little while ago that most of the kanji books and kanji programs on the internet, I can think of the kanji dictionary that I have for my DS, I can think of, there's a book I saw called Kanji in Context, Heisig's book, what was it called, Remembering the Kanji, I'm looking at it right now. I have Kanji de Manga, which teaches kanji through manga. I have two different kanji books, basic kanji book, that I took with my level 3 Japanese class, and a reading and writing total Japanese kanji book that I took with my level 1 class. There's Kanji Box on Facebook. I mean, and I have flashcards on my Mac too. I started thinking about this the other day. Why do I have all of these different types of kanji books and kanji ways of learning and memorizing kanji? Well, I realized each book does something slightly different that I enjoy, but no book does something that I want. So I'm wondering if anybody knows of a flashcard type product or a learning system that does this. And if you do, please let me know on the blog and on the comment site. I try to remember kanji in extreme context, and by that, I try to remember the meaning, where it is in a word, and what pronunciation is being used, what reading is being used, all in one. So what I would like to do is focus on a specific kanji and see, well, what words are this kanji, what words are, how should I say this, what words contain this kanji, and what words does this kanji appear as the first character, and how are all those words related, and in what words does this kanji appear in the last character, and how are all of those words related? Because you'll find that many different kanji have duplicate meanings that are used in many similar words. One set I can think of is genjitsu and jitsugen, which is reality and realization. And they both use the same characters, but they're in different orders. So being able to understand, you know, jitsu is truth, and then see jitsu again and be able to see that together, and then sort of flip to genjitsu and see it the other way around would be really interesting. Also, being able to see, like, jitsu and all the other different combinations of that kanji all having a slight meaning of truth would, I think, really help the learning process for a kanji learner. So I'm trying to figure out ways to support that type of learning method. And I have so far been unsuccessful, so there's a big gap there. But again, if somebody else or another listener knows of a method that does that effectively, please let me know. And if there isn't something, maybe we'll just have to develop something. So that's been project number two. So those things have been keeping me quite busy lately, as well as spending lots of time with Linda and also now working full-time. So such is life, but let's move beyond my life and let's move into something that perhaps is a little more interesting, although not to the person who reviewed this for the Japan Podcasters Award. We're going to move over to a drink review, and in honor of this review, we're going to actually play a little bit of Louis Armstrong. Since the other night I was coming home completely stressed out from everything that's been going on, and not to mention the visa issues and doing taxes and a whole bunch of logistical things that have kept me busy, which will end up being episode 60, so hang on to your hats for that one. While I was going through all that work, I just put this on the train one day and it made things just go away. So let's go to some Louis Armstrong just for a quick moment, and then we'll move right into the drink review that Alex and I did of Kamakura beer. So, hey everybody, what's up? We're here again with Alex yet again. What's going on, Alex?
What's going on?
Today we are, I just came back from Kamakura today, and I was telling my friend, like, every time I go to a new place, I want to try and find new drinks. And I found this beer called Kamakura beer, and it's made by Amamura. I think that's what it's called. Imamura, sorry. And they have three different kinds here. We're going to try two of them here tonight. So, and these actually come in bottles, which you don't really see much in Japan. There you go, man.
Thanks. I like the bottle cap. I like the turtle on. The
bottle cap's got a nice design. Little turtle on the top. This is Shonin Traditional Ale Beer. And let's see here. What can we say about this? If you want to know more, you can go to www.kamakura-beer.co.jp. This is a 330 milliliter bottle.
Looks like the standard, like, American size bottle, though. Though it's not filled up to the top. You notice that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's a little fatter than the usual American one, isn't it? More squat.
Yeah, it could be. Their label says they've been making beer since 1998.
This is relatively new.
Which is relatively new. But we have tonight the brown ale, and what is it you have over there? The pale ale.
What does it say?
Way at the bottom.
Here?
Right above that, right there.
Pale. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The letters are really far apart.
Yeah, no wonder.
So, I don't know, here goes. It's pretty good. The brown ale is what you would expect. It's a darker kind of ale. It reminds me a lot of like a It kind of reminds me of a Sam Adams dark, but it's a little sweeter and it's not as thick, I could say. But it's a pretty good brown ale in terms of regular beer. I mean, the stuff they carry in the convenience store, I don't think they really have a brown ale in the convenience store. So, you want to try this one? I don't currently have a cold or anything, so it should be fine. What do you think, dude?
Yeah, this one's pretty good, actually.
It reminds me of something, but I can't put my finger on it. And there's a beer that's almost exactly like it. I don't think it's kind of like the... Oh, God, wait, it has a yellow label. It's in the States.
A yellow label?
Yeah. It's going to come to me later. Anyway. It's not bad. I mean, in terms of, like, Japanese beer, it's been so long since I've had a dark ale, so I think maybe my taste buds might be a little unaccustomed to it, so I'm like, wow, this is great.
Could be.
Yeah. So moving on, the pale ale here, the Kamakura beer pale ale. What do you think there?
I don't know. It's, it's okay, but I don't know if it's that good for a pale ale. I don't compare it to like Bass or something. Yeah. I don't think it's quite as good.
I also should say that each of these beers, I think, were about 400 yen, somewhere around there. So, you also have to think about, there's also a price issue in there, too, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get a good six-pack of brown ale in the States for, well, like, $8 or $9. It kind of reminds me of Yingling, though, but not as good. It's got that same sort of, like, it's got a weird tinge to it, like a sweet tinge. Actually, both of these beers have, can't even talk. I've been speaking Japanese all day with no plurals, so. Both of these beers have pretty much the same taste, it's just it seems like the brown is stronger.
Yeah, the brown, you get that kind of taste in the back of your
throat. Yeah, like a little, like, almost like a... Like a little chocolate or something in there.
Yeah.
Definitely like the brown better.
Same beer. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess I'd have to give this 3 saws because just because I haven't had a good brown ale in a while and kind of enjoy this here. Sounds like the pale ale is going to be less than that, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe one.
One side. Wow. Mm.
The thing is, like, where would you buy this outside of Kamakura?
Probably nowhere. Else, right? Yeah. Nowhere. I haven't seen this anywhere else. It's in a lot of the gift shops. But ironically, or strangely, I should say, it's in gift shops, but in the refrigerator. Like, they actually have it refrigerated. Ready to go. So it's not like a gift thing where you take it somewhere and then drink it. I guess they expect you to just drink it right there. So, But there you go, that's the Kamakura beer. Nothing to write home about per se, but if you're in the mood for a good brown ale and you're in Kamakura, go ahead and pick one up. You can find them anywhere. So.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, thanks again as always.
Well, thanks for the beer.
Hey, no problem. Well, the beer time's over, so that means, looks like the episode is done. Want to thank Alex again for a great beer review. We have one other thing that we have to do on deck. Maybe I'll even get it done tonight. We'll see. I'm going to talk to him, see if he wants to do it. But that's a wine in a box review, but this is wine in a juice box, which not really sure how good it will be, but hopefully we'll get another good review in there. But before we go, I'm going to leave you with a fairly unique sound. Linda and I were on the train the other day, I think coming back from Ikegami Bain, the park near Kamata. And we were on the Asakusa line, and one of these trains had such a amazingly interesting sound that I had to call it the saxophone train. And I just had to take the recorder out and get the saxophone train for everybody on tape here. So in order to close out the episode, I'm going to give you the saxophone train and then the closing music here. So I hope you all have enjoyed this episode, and feels good to be back on the horse. Unapologetically, I've enjoyed the month off from all you guys, but I am looking forward to using up some of these other sounds here and bringing you some more episodes real soon. Episode 60 will be all about visas, so if you're interested in what a visa is and all the trials and tribulations of someone trying to get a visa, stay tuned for episode 60. If not, I just hope you enjoy the ride anyway. Take care, everyone. Bye.